All right, you ready to start the show, Monty Boy?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Ready. Oh, hang on. Oh. Let me take this.
Who's that?
What? Colby? Hello?
Hello.
Colby, what?
Hey.
How did you get my number?
Slim, it's me. Hey, listen. I just wanted to say, you know, since my last fight, I've been kind of reflecting about everything, and I thought back to our times with you and Monty, you know, when I've talked shit to you guys and our bad times at the A&A meets. And I just wanted to call and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong about everything. You guys are actually really, really fucking cool. And I just wanted to go ahead and end this and say, I'm sorry.
What? Colby?
Whoa.
Thank you. I mean...
Damn, Slim, should we actually be friends with
him? Is his jaw wired shut? Is that why he's talking like that?
I think so. Oh, my God.
Colby, thank you. I'm sorry you weren't up for A&A this year.
Oh, you know what? It's all right, Slim. And actually, I sent you guys a package, and I just did want to say one other thing, Slim.
Yeah.
Suck a fucking dick. I said, you dog poop, you stupid piece of shit. What did you think this was? 2020, I'm beating your guys' asses. Expect to see me once this jaw heals up, you dumbasses.
Colby, no.
Fuck your 100th episode. Nobody gives a shit about it.
Oh, same old Colby. God damn it.
Wow.
I hope my mom
doesn't... you shouldn't have answered that.
I hope my mom doesn't open that package. How'd he get my number? Did he ask Trump to get my number?
I wonder... whose dog's poop it is?
Does Colby have dog? Maybe it's his. Oh, God. Oh, that just ruined my mood. God damn it.
Start the show.
Let's start the show.
Here we go.
Let's
start a fucking podcast. Here we go.
It's in the game. We're back.
That's funny.
We're back.
What up?
We're back from Vegas in our nice little T-Mobile arena we had set up in.
Yep.
Back in our nice cozy garage.
Slim's back from Italy. I don't know why he went there, but
I just need some time away. Trying baguettes. Know, that, that's French.
By the way, what happened to the awards for the fighters? They're still looking for that shit.
Yeah, I end up having to mail them to them. So.
Did they get them?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah, they fucking better. They were pissed with me.
Yeah, well, you made it out alive. You got to smoke weed with Masvidal. All
right, that was really cool.
Well, we're back.
In cold Ohio.
Yeah, freezing chilly. And we got a little McGregor card to talk about.
We got a McGregor card to talk about. We got our top five goats list. You guys have been waiting for it.
I forgot about that.
So we'll save that for the end of the episode. That'll be a fun conversation. We got Juice Man back in the studio.
Hello.
It goes wild.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna talk a little bit of news. Shoot the shit, drink some beer, and see what happens.
All right. So I want to start with this. So, Conor's fighting this weekend.
Yeah.
So, I posted this on Facebook to little response, but it just getting... This is how I feel about this card. So, I said, is it just me or is this Conor-Cowboy fight a little underwhelming? Every time Conor fights, people that don't regularly watch MMA love to ask me what I think about his upcoming fight, but I've heard none of that. It happened last year. If it happened last year when Cowboy was on his little win streak and he was calling him out, I think it would have been a huge attraction. But right now, I'm just not feeling the buzz for it. Like, it's not feeling like, oh my God, Conor's fighting to me.
It's just, obviously the fight does have a very different feel to it. Mutual respect between the two. There's a lot of weird stuff going on with the allegations towards McGregor, so there's a lot of speculation behind that. It does feel, I'll give you that, it does feel different, but...
Also, since this card's not stacked, I think the UFC is really trying to see, like, what kind of paper... We just saw what Jorge could do.
Yeah.
What kind of pay-per-view business can Conor do by himself now?
Right.
Not saying Cowboy's not a draw, but is he a pay-per-view headliner seller?
I think everybody's kind of testing the waters here on this card. It's going to be an interesting start to 2020. I'm excited. I'm going to get our picks in. Mm-hmm. Me and Slim will be keeping track of the picks. As you guys heard last year, we put it – last year. Last time we recorded – we're putting it all on the line. Slim can win 200. I can win 150. When you about to start paying me my 100, you owe me?
Once I get this car locked down. I'm saving every cent.
Jesus.
You don't even saving every penny trying to get up out this hellhole.
Good Lord.
I got you. I'll pay you in full. But,
funny thing is, you just said good Lord exactly as I fucking typed that two words out on my phone.
That's real weird.
Side note. Sorry, people.
You're fine.
Over in my own fucking world.
But yeah, starting the year off with a Conor fight. Never done that before.
No. And I'm
and he keeps calling it his season.
Yeah.
This was an exciting fight back for my first fight of the season.
It's going to be interesting to see if he can actually live up to what he said he wants to do. If he wants to fight three times this year, I really hope it happens.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to see what happens with this one. Because Jorge's calling for the Conor fight. I mean, as of today. Was that today or yesterday?
It was. I didn't get to see the full press conference. But, yeah. Dude, did you see Chase Hooper?
No.
Bro, this kid, they are marketing Chase Hooper out to be a star. Watch this. Put that up to the microphone again. Give it to Jake. Dude, he literally sounded so like, oh fuck, I'm sorry. Like so genuine for a minute.
Dude. That is something else.
What the fuck? Bro.
Dude,
that sounds like fucking Jorge. And that shit, I would have been laughing my ass.
Dude,
off.
They are marketing Chase Hooper out to be a star. They had him walking around, I guess, interviewing other people too. He was going around like the PI, the Fight Pass headquarters, whatever.
Fight Pass headquarters, the
UFC Fight Pass headquarters.
Is that what it's called?
I think. Well, they're the ones that posted it. He was like walking through an office.
Performance Institute?
No, it was like an office building. It might have been the PI. I don't know, but. He was walking around with a bunch of M&Ms, and he'd walk by a desk and just chuck a handful at the desk and keep walking.
What the fuck?
It was real weird, but...
That's wild.
Yeah, it's strange. But yeah, Chase Hooper. The next possibly big thing. The only 20-year-old male fighter, I believe. No, Shabazian. Or Shabazian 21.
Shabazian's 21.
Okay.
What other... Is that all you got on that?
Oh, yeah. It was just a little thing I had seen, and I just thought it was hilarious.
What else... Dude, did you see how Cowboy rode into the press conference today?
On a goddamn Harley.
With the gang with him.
Yeah, with the squad.
Yeah, that shit was pretty dope.
Fabricio Verdum got his 2-year USADA suspension reduced to 10 months, so he'll be eligible to compete on April 1st.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, of course, we saw that Rory McDonald had joined the Professional Fighting League.
Yes.
Apparently, they're trying to get Thiago Alves as well. What do you think about that addition?
I saw that.
It'd be good, you know, a name toss in there.
Yeah, but so? He's not been doing that
too
good
hot.
As of late.
Yeah.
John Volante will be going up to heavyweight to fight Big Ben Rothwell.
Yeah. Oh, God.
What an odd pairing. I don't like that at all.
The worst Italian dude ever.
Right.
Like, ever, dude.
I think he's from Jersey.
He has to be.
But, and Robert Whittaker pulled out of his fight against Jared Cannonier. I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah.
I literally didn't even know that
what?
Was signed.
Yeah.
I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Wild.
And then, yeah, he pulled out.
Dude, did you see Ariel's post?
No.
He posted the article, and his comment was, Darren? With a question mark?
That's funny as fuck.
I don't think he replied or anything, but.
We're also going to have a rematch between Thug Rose.
Yeah.
And Jessica Andrade. That'll be taking place April 18th in Brooklyn.
I love that.
That's going to be a good one. That's a rematch that had to happen, I feel like.
Right.
So I'm excited for that one. What's that?
The video.
Oh. Also, Calvin Kattar going to be taking on Lil Heathen Jeremy Stevens. That's going to be at UFC 248.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Which will be March 7th in Las Vegas.
That's a banger.
Didn't you say Matt Brown's coming to Columbus?
Yes. Matt Brown is fighting... fuck. Let me see. They just announced that, too.
We're going to Columbus. What is that? The 22nd?
March 24th, maybe? Maybe it's 22nd.
My B-day. We're going to go to the UFC fights.
You said, all right.
We don't know yet. Probably not going to be that expensive.
We don't know yet. We'll find out January 31st.
But that's what I'm trying to do. Right?
Dude, that's going to be... Cody Garbrandt's going to be there.
Francis Ngannou.
And that dude's versus name you can't pronounce?
Yeah. yeah.
Jarzynko. Fuck, I can't find the...
Gilbert Burns is going to be taking on Damian Maia in Brazil, March 14th.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. That's going to be a crazy grappling match, bro.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did see that. Let me see if I
Kayla Harrison won the championship. I don't think we talked about that. She should have been up for Fighter of the Year. Notable snub.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not fighting top competition.
Who's though. Who's the dude with the super long beard? You know what I'm talking about? With the huge
Mark
braids?
Mark Beltran?
Yeah. He got snubbed for Ref of the Year. He's a great ref. Renato Moicano will fight Demir Hantsevich in Brazil. It's an interesting
That's
one.
Random as yeah. fuck.
Very random.
Greg Hart. Did we announce Greg Hardy coming back? Versus Jorgen De Castro?
Yeah.
Did we?
We talked about that last week. Matt Brown will be taking on Miguel Baeza.
That's a good one.
Yeah, in Columbus. March 20th.
That's in Columbus?
March 28th. I told you that.
Go off.
He's coming back.
Go off.
Yeah,
Columbus
dude, they're stacking that card.
Right. What's up with that?
I don't know.
What other news do we got?
Josh Emmett will fight... Or no, I'm sorry. Arnold Allen will fight Nick Lentz. So Nick Lentz is getting sacrificed to Arnold Allen.
As usual. Like, he's literally always getting fucking sacrificed.
Did we talk about Kevin Lee and Charles Oliveira?
I don't think so.
Dude, that's
a good
huge
one.
Huge implications on that one because Oliveira has been on a tear.
I don't know, man. I think I think Charles Oliveira might take that one.
He could. He very well
could. For reals.
It's very possible.
I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have much more. Not anything notable. Oh, Aspen Ladd will fight Juliana Pena in Columbus.
Damn.
Dude, this is stacked.
Jesus.
Stacked, bruh.
That is awesome.
I'm excited. Andre Ewell will fight Jonathan Martinez in Texas at UFC 247.
Devontae Smith, homie.
Yeah.
Jonathan Martinez.
I want to see... What's dude? Dude that friended me on Facebook. Who knocked out Devontae? You know what I'm talking about. I want to see him back in there soon.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is. Punahele Soriano will fight Eric Spicely.
Yeah, he just fought, bro. You don't remember him? He was on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
In Columbus.
Stop, bro.
Dude, that card is so stacked. Wow. I'm so excited.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
They haven't been back to Ohio since like 2015?
Yeah, when
Stipe defended the belt?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I'm excited.
It's going to be a good one.
Yes.
So, I guess, I don't know, is it time?
I think it's time.
The beginning. Hold on, let me get my little shit out here. This is funny.
What shit?
My little track, what I'm going to keep track of our shit.
We're not continuing. We're starting over.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean?
I thought you meant you were continuing like from last year's records.
Listen, Slim, stop fucking with me, bro. Stop fucking with me.
You're not fucking with me.
All right, so... God, I don't even remember how I used to do these, bro.
You had like the whole Excel spreadsheet
I know,
shit.
Like, I had my shit nice.
You could name off rip like, oh, Slim's at 24 and 47, and I'm at whatever you were.
All right. I'll make it after. We'll do this, and then I'll make it.
Okay.
So, woo-wee. Let's get into it, I guess.
Ooh-wee.
So, also, we had one fight drop already. Grant Dawson was going to face Chaz Skelly in a featherweight fight, But Dawson had to withdraw, apparently, just with an issue. Him and the Nevada State Athletic Commission. I don't know. Something went on there. It hasn't really came out yet.
Undisclosed issues. Yay.
Yeah, so Grant Dawson and Chas Kelly is off this card.
My shit's not loading. Yay.
That's not good.
Y'all think it's cold out here?
It's not warm.
What's up over there, Juice? You a little bit stoned?
I'm way stoned, dude. Yeah.
2 weeks in a row.
It's the only way I show up to work.
What are you up to over there, Slim? How many beers you got down? One?
One? Uno. Trying to stay warm. All right. Well, my shit's still loading, but we'll go with what I got. So we got J.J. Aldrich.
We'll go with what I got.
Taking on Sabina Mazo in the very first fight of the night.
Yeah. A really interesting flyweight bout here between the Colombian queen, Sabina Mazo, and J.J. Aldrich. So Sabina Mazo, of course, only 22 years old, but she is going to have the height advantage. She's 2 inches taller and then a half-inch reach advantage. She fights out of an orthodox stance, and then J.J. Aldrich is a southpaw. So that's kind of something to watch here because Sabina Mazo has only fought one southpaw her entire career.
No.
So I feel like J.J. Aldrich's boxing could possibly give Sabina Mazo a little bit of trouble there.
Yeah.
So looking at their records, Sabina Mazo is 7-1. She is 1-1 in the UFC. J.J. Aldrich is 8-3 overall. She has a 4-2 record in the UFC. J.J. Aldrich does have – both of these women have 2 knockouts, respectively. And then – J.J. Aldrich has been knocked out and submitted before, and then they both have 1 decision loss. And then when you're looking at significant strikes, Sabina Mazo putting way more volume out. She's landing almost 2 more strikes per minute than J.J. Aldrich. She's more accurate. She absorbs less punches, and she has a way better strike differential. She has a plus 2.7 strike differential to J.J. Aldrich's negative 0.2.
Whoa.
And then Sabina Mazo also averages 2 takedowns per 15 minutes, and she has 100% takedown accuracy, 88% takedown defense. Literally all the stats in this fight go to Sabina Mazo. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this one goes. Let's start, since I've been picking first for so gosh damn long, Slim, you freaking go first.
I'm going to take the Colombian queen, Sabina Mazo.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. The first fight of the year, we're going with the Colombian queen, Sabina Mazo, to defeat J.J. Aldrich.
Hey.
Moving on to the next bout in the bantamweight division.
We got Brian Boom Kelleher going up against Ode Osborne.
Yeah, so Ode Osborne, of course, is a teacher. Yeah, isn't that just crazy? Like a wow. UFC fighter and a teacher.
Wow, Rich Franklin did it.
Yeah, true. And then Brian Kelleher, this is the longest he's ever been away from competition. It's a 385-day layoff for him. So,
May of 2018.
Yeah. Anyways, looking at the tail of the tape here, Ode Osborne is 28. Brian Kelleher is 33. Ode Osborne will have 1.5-inch height advantage and a 7-inch reach advantage. So I'm sure he's going to be looking to keep this one on the feet. And then looking at their records, Brian Kelleher 19-10 overall, 3-3 in the UFC, and then Ode Osborne 8-2 overall, making his UFC debut. He was a contender series winner. Both of these guys are finishers. Ode Osborne, 50% of his finishes have came by submission, 37% by knockout. Brian Kelleher not too far behind on the finish rates, and then neither of these guys have been knocked out. Both of them have lost by submission. Both of them have lost by decision.
I thought Brian Kelleher got knocked out by John Lineker.
I think he finished that fight.
No, it was round 3.
Was it?
Yeah.
Mm, got me.
Left hook, he got him.
Got my dumb ass. Anyways, we don't have any striking or grappling stats for Ode Osborne, but he does like to wrestle. He could possibly try actually taking this one to the ground.
Possible. Maybe.
Who are you going with, Slim?
I'm gonna go. Well, I like Brian Kelleher, but I do not like that he's coming off 2 losses and a 2-year layoff.
1 year.
Well, one year in like 8 months, but I think I'm going to take Ode Osborne.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Ode Osborne.
Ooh, this next one. Alexa.
That was like the first fight we ever went to. They were chanting that shit.
Right. We got Ohio and Cleveland's own Alexa Kamer taking on a very tough test in his first fight.
Yo, if he fights in Columbus, like somehow if that happens, we should take a galley boy and throw it at his ass.
In the ring.
No, not in the ring, but when he's walking, like, back.
Hey!
He's going to be like, what the fuck? Oh, my God. He's
going to see barbecue sauce?
He's
going to
see the olive on top. He's going to be like, no way. Fucking galley, baby.
But he's taking on a tough competition in his first fight. Justin Ledet, who has lost only against the best, Alexander Rakic and Johnny Walker.
Right. Those were his last two fights, right?
Right.
He was originally 3-0 coming into the UFC. I mean, was looking like a monster, bro.
No, he was 9-0.
3-0 in the UFC, I said.
Oh, in the UFC, yes.
Yeah. So, Justin Ledet is a finisher. He has 2 knockouts and 5 submissions, only 2 decision wins. But Alexa, 5 wins, 5 knockouts.
Yes.
He's going to be looking to get that knockout versus Justin Ledet, who... has already shown he can be knocked out by Johnny Walker.
Also, in his amateur career, 4 wins, 4 knockouts.
Alexa's crazy.
Nothing in the third round.
Yeah.
He's never been in the third round.
Yeah, he's a savage. We're letting you guys know right now. We've seen him fight. Dude's an animal.
Yeah.
He already has a pretty good cult following here in Ohio.
Oh yeah,
people go crazy when he fights. So
we saw him at the Honor Fighting Championship.
Yeah, so
up on the lake,
he's definitely one to watch out for. I'm expecting him to come in here and put on a huge performance. I'm going with Alexa Kamer in this one.
You already know,
Alexa. Yeah, that's fire.
That's fire.
So that's going to be the early preliminary card on the UFC. Fight Pass. Juice, what are you doing Saturday?
Probably working.
Why do you only got one eye open?
Because I had to stare intensely at you, as I said. No, I don't know yet.
Saturday night?
Saturday night.
It starts at like 8.
I'm probably fucking hanging out, drinking beer with you, watching this shit.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Why wasn't you fucking with me on the 3v3, bro?
Oh, I was busy last night.
He was getting some...
3v3 or what?
Bunions.
No, not that one. But,
Is there a message in that?
Yes.
Oh, man. Come on. No, I can't do that.
Bunions. It's the 3v3 gunfight on fucking Modern Warfare.
Oh, I didn't know they had that. I haven't been on.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, well, I know you haven't.
My KD's like 0.7, dude. Nothing.
No games.
No.
I don't want to play no games.
Beats, boy. That's it.
Beats, boy.
You still have a fucking Game Boy, don't you lie. You play fucking like Pokemon. And
I have one, but I haven't turned it on.
Bro, I saw they have an arcade with all the Pokemon games.
I mean, I got the Switch with the new Pokemon.
Did you? I heard the expansions are good.
I haven't looked at it. I didn't pick it back up. There's like nothing
Apparently
to do.
They changed a lot of shit.
There's like not much to do after you beat the game initially, except for like you go catch a legendary and you go.
Good
like,
thing they dropped an expansion.
What do I got to pay for it?
I don't know. Probably not too much.
That's just
goofy. I'd imagine.
But it is kind of cool that Pokemon's coming in with expansions now.
True.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
All right. Moving on to the next fight. We have Kelvin Gastelum's twin, Nasrat Haqparast.
Nasrat Haqparast.
Going up against sometimes sober Drew Dober.
Red Rover,
come over.
Looking at the tail of the tape, Nasrat Haqparast is 24 years old to Drew Dober's 31. He will have a 2-inch height advantage and a 2-inch reach advantage. Training out of TriStar with the likes of George St. Pierre, Rory McDonald, Arnold Allen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he works with some savages. But, of course... Drew Dober does fight out of Elevation Fight Team with like Gate G, Alistair Overeem, Dominic Reyes. So, looking at their records, Drew Dober is 21-9 overall. He has one no contest as well. He has a 7-5 UFC record. And then on the other hand, Nasrat Haqparast 11-2 overall, 3-1 in the UFC. He has 11 wins, 9 of them by knockout. The other two by decision.
Wow.
Dude carries some serious power in his hands. He's going to be looking to unleash it. But Drew Dober's only been knocked out one time. He has been submitted 3 times, but I don't know.
The chin is fucking huge.
Drew Dober also has 9 submission wins. That's good for 43% of his 21 wins. And Nasrat Haqparast, of his 2 losses, one of them's by submission. Something to watch out for. Drew Dober might be looking to get this one on the ground. I'm actually sure of it because all significant strike advantages go towards Nasrat Haqparast. He has a way better strike differential, way better strike defense. He's going to be looking to put it on Drew Dober. But if Drew Dober can get this one to the ground and possibly, you know, control it, he has a chance at winning. I personally don't see that happening, though. I'm going with Nasrat Haqparast.
Same.
He's landed at least 1 knockdown on all 4 of his UFC opponents. How crazy is that?
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Let's see if he can make it 5.
He really is like Kelvin.
Right. So ANA MMA agreeing with 4 in a row now. We're both going with Nasrat Haqparast to defeat Drew Dober. Moving on to the flyweight division.
Yeah, we got Tim Elliott taking on Askar Askarov.
Yeah, so this is interesting.
Yeah, Tim Elliott, is he going back to bantamweight for this, or is this a 125?
This fight is at flyweight.
Okay.
125.
Yeah, Askar Askarov came in, got that draw with Brandon Moreno, which was really shocking.
Yeah.
But then when you see Brandon Moreno's like last performance against Kai Kara-France, it's like, okay.
Right.
Like that, like this dude's evolved.
Yeah. Askar Askarov is definitely one of the top. I actually considered him for ANA MMA Prospect of the Year. He's good.
Yeah.
He's really good. So looking at the tail of the tape, he is 6 years younger at 27. Askar Askarov, that is. He will have a 1-inch disadvantage, 1-inch height disadvantage to Tim Elliott, and then he has a 1-inch reach advantage. Both of these men fight southpaw. Tim Elliott's ranked number 8, which is just crazy, and then Askar Askarov is number 12, which is also crazy because he has 1 draw.
Right.
Like,
That shows you how shallow the flyweight
but
is.
But Tim Elliott is 15-9-1 overall, 4-7 in the UFC, not very good. And then Askar Askarov, 10-0-1 with 1 draw in the UFC. So all of his wins by knockout and by submission.
Yeah.
That last fight was the only time he's gone
the distance.
Gone the distance, yeah. And then on the other hand, Tim Elliott's probably going to be looking to take this to the ground, get a little bit crafty, and maybe look for a submission like he did. Didn't he get Davison Figueiredo got him because he like fell into
He got Mark De La Rosa.
Tim Elliott did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is who it was.
In the Anaconda. Yeah. But he has alternated his wins and losses over his last 7 fights.
Yeah. All grappling advantages go to Tim Elliott. Askar Askarov has a worse strike differential than Tim Elliott. I mean, if you're looking at the stats, definitely looks like Tim Elliott is your guy, but I'm going with Askar Askarov in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Askar Askarov.
This next one's a goddamn banger.
Yeah, this is this fight's going to be something else, dude.
I can't believe this wasn't on the main card.
Right.
We got Touchy. Andre Feely going up against Super Sadiq Youssef. They're really trying to push Sadiq Youssef, and I think he's on the right path to be the next big Nigerian fighter.
Definitely, definitely.
He's undefeated in the UFC right now. He is on a 5-fight win streak, 3 of those in the UFC. He had a great showing in his last outing against Gabriel Benitez when he TKO'd he TKO'd Benitez on the Cormier-Miocic card. He was on the main card for that. And Touchy Feely, always fun to watch. He's so rangy, so lanky.
Right.
And he's really coming into his own lately.
Right.
Especially like his win over Miles Jury when they both were just throwing constant jabs. That was crazy.
It was crazy, yeah.
And then when he beat Shaman Rice in the first round, like,
nobody
what?
Saw that coming.
Dude, Touchy Feely's putting it on right now. He's in his prime.
Both of these guys actually beat Shaman Marais, and that was last year as well. They both also fought Gabriel Benitez, and both of them knocked him out. So looking at their records, Andre Feely, 20-6 overall, 8-5 in the UFC, and then Super Sadiq Youssef, 10-1 overall, 3-0 in the UFC, the ANA MMA Prospect of the Year. I'm expecting him to do a lot in this one.
Yeah.
All of his, he has 6 wins, so all of his finishes are by knockout, and then the other four wins are by decision. Andre Feely carries heavy knockout power himself, but he can go the distance. Both of these guys have great cardio. It's going to be a slugfest. I mean, either one of these dudes can get caught. It's going to be probably fight of the night. I'm going with Sadiq Youssef, though.
Same.
ANA MMA super agreeing. We're 6 in a row right now. We're both going with super Sadiq Youssef.
Starting off the year right.
Which takes us to the women's flyweight division and a prospect killer versus the super prospect.
Yeah, the prelim headliner. Macy the Future Barber going up against Roxanne the Happy Warrior Modafferi.
Slim's least favorite nickname.
The worst. Macy Barber, with the timer on her phone that tells her when she needs to get the belt to be the youngest champion. That's a fact. She really has that on her phone. Going up against Roxanne Modafferi. No sort of goodwill from Macy Barber in this. Roxanne Modafferi actually messaged Macy and said, hey, just to let you know, the fighter or the hotel we're supposed to be at apparently doesn't have a bathtub in their room, so it's going to be hard to cut weight. So just letting you know, blah, blah, blah. Macy didn't even respond, but she screenshot it and put it on Twitter like, I'm going to crush you, blah, 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 just talking all this shit.
Wow, what if Roxanne Modafferi fucks her up?
That's what I'm saying.
But
what a night. I mean, what a nice girl.
I mean, nobody thought Roxanne Modafferi could beat Antonina Shevchenko, and she did.
True.
You know, anything could happen. Macy Barber is 21 years old. Roxanne Modafferi, 37.
Yes. Yeah.
A 16-year age difference there. Roxanne Modafferi is 2 inches taller and will have a 4-inch reach advantage. She's 23-16 overall, 2-4 in the UFC. Macy Barber, 8-0, 3-0 in the UFC. Only one win of hers has gone to decision. The other 7 wins by knockout or submission. I think Roxanne Modafferi is going to look to take this fight into deep water. She's going to make it as ugly as possible. She's going to try swarming Macy Barber and just kind of smothering her. But Macy Barber might be able to punch her way out of it. She has a really good ground game as well. She can wrestle. I got to go with the future. Give me Macy Barber in this one.
Yeah, come on.
The biggest favorite, minus 1,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Good Lord.
That'll be your preliminary card. You can go ahead and watch that one on ESPN. Which takes us to the
pay-per-view
main card.
So in the
main card. Go ahead.
So in this in the breakdown for the I don't know what they call it, UFC Unleashed or Undisputed, I don't know what they call it anymore.
Embedded?
Not embedded. It was like a different one. It was like just a quick block of like, here's who's fighting. But they only showed Conor Cowboy and Anthony Pettis and Diego Ferreira. They didn't show anyone else. So I thought this was going to be the co-main event. It is not. It was the very first fight of the night.
Yeah.
And Diego Ferreira is actually the only fighter on this card who's on a 5-fight win streak.
I felt like they could have replaced this. They could have switched this fight with your token heavyweight main card pay-per-view fight. Maurice Greene and Alexei Oleinik.
Yeah,
they should have opened up.
Or Holly Holm Raquel. I'm not really that jazzed for that. But
that jazzed.
Anyway, like I said, Showtime versus Diego Ferreira, who was on a 5-fight win streak. He's really coming into his own this year. And he's 34 years old. So he's actually the older fighter than the former champ, Anthony Pettis.
Yeah.
He trains out of Rufus Sport.
Yeah. So looking at
Also Fortis MMA, notable snub for Gym of the Year.
Who would you replace them with?
Strong Style.
Oh,
no offense to my Jeff Cleveland Kinsey homies.
Fucking with
you. But you know they had Ryan Spann, they had Jeff Neal, they had some other dude in the lighter weights who went 3-0 this year or last year.
Whatever, Slim.
I'm just saying. Go on.
Anthony Pettis, 22-9 overall, 9-8 in the UFC's alternated wins and losses over his past 9 fights. His last fight was at UFC 241 last August, and then he's returning to the lightweight division for the first time since November of 2018. He went 1-1 in that stint at welterweight. And then...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot Nate fought him at welterweight.
Yeah. And then Pettis is one of 9 fighters in UFC history to earn victories in 3 weight classes.
Hmm.
He is 4-7 in his last 11 UFC appearances, dating back to when he lost the UFC lightweight title in March of 2015. And then Diego Ferreira, on the other hand, 16-2 overall, 7-2 in the UFC. His 5-fight UFC winning streak at lightweight is the 5th longest active streak, only behind Tony Ferguson, Khabib, Islam Makhachev, and Charles Oliveira. I think this one's actually going to be a really, really good fight. Looking at the stats, pretty much everything is leaning towards Carlos Diego Ferreira. He has most of the significant striking stat advantages. The only one Anthony Pettis has is he has better accuracy. And then Anthony Pettis has pretty good grappling stats as compared to Carlos Diego Ferreira. A third degree black belt.
Jake's
versus
got dry eyes. Everyone point and laugh.
Let me look.
Sorry, cut you off.
No, you're good.
What are the odds? Yeah.
Give me one moment on that.
Okay.
What'd you call me?
A bitch.
Damn.
You got a bitch from both sides of the table.
Damn. What fight am I looking for?
Pettis and Ferreira.
Diego Ferreira is the -245 favorite over the +185 underdog Anthony Pettis.
Really?
I'm gonna go with the hot hand. Give me Carlos Diego Ferreira.
I feel like I gotta do the same. Showtime's not been back to lightweight in about a year now.
Yeah,
we don't know what that's gonna be.
A&A MMA still agreeing. On to the main card. We're going with Carlos Diego Ferreira to defeat Anthony Pettis. On to the women's strawweight division.
We got Claudia Gadelha going up against Alexa Grasso. Yeah. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, this is actually going to be a really good fight, I think. Claudia Gadelha is 17-4 overall, 6-4 in the UFC. She has the 3rd most appearances in strawweight history behind only Randa Markos and Angela Hill.
Hmm.
She's alternated wins and losses over her past 5 fights. She won her most recent bout back in at UFC 239. Gadelha's 33 takedowns landed in the strawweight division are tied with Carla Esparza for most in divisional history. So all she needs is one to take that record for herself. And then she has also been awarded 3 fight night bonuses for in the strawweight division, which is tied for 3rd most in divisional history.
Hmm.
And then Alexa Grasso, on the other hand, 11-3 overall, 3-3 in the UFC. She's alternated wins and losses over her entire UFC career. And then she lost her most recent bout back at UFC on ESPN Plus 17 in September. I think this is going to be a good one. Both women have really good ground game. Obviously, Claudia Gadelha with her takedowns, and then Alexa Grasso, she can wrestle as well. Her bread and butter is her boxing. She's going to be looking to use that the entire time. But honestly, I don't know if it's going to be enough against Claudia Gadelha's pressure. She's going to be trying to get that takedown the entire time and just pretty much try to ride this one out and get the submission. Let me see. Odds are a pick 'em. Absolutely even. I'm going to go with Claudia Gadelha in this one.
I'm going to go with the Mexican fighter.
Oh,
Alexa Grasso.
Disagreement of the year. Hey. Sim's about to lose some money.
It's only one, bud. Don't get your high heels before they hatch.
And I ain't giving you no breaks like I tried giving you last year.
Breaks?
Yeah, I gave breaks? You like
breaks.
I gave you, like, multipliers and shit. Fuck that. I'm going to blow your ass out this entire year.
All right.
And I'm talking all year.
All right. Can you rephrase that, though?
Blowing your asshole out, bitch.
Okay.
A&A MMA going to disagree on this one. Slim's going with Alexa Grasso, and I'm going with Claudia Gadelha.
Yeah.
On to the token heavyweight fight.
really weird pairing here. We got Maurice Green, the crochet boss, who just recently came off a loss.
Yeah.
Going up against Alexei Olenek, who is on a couple of losses himself, who recently competed in a grappling bout against one of the best jiu-jitsu people in the world, Gordon Ryan.
Yeah.
And lost via knee bar in the first round.
Yeah. So I got some interesting shit on this one here, Slim. Alexei Olenek, of course, 57-13-1 overall in MMA. And then 6-4 overall. I'm sorry, 6-4 in the UFC. So he is 42. He's the oldest active fighter in the UFC heavyweight division, and he is really? The oldest of everybody on this card, of course. But how interesting is this? Alexei Olenek becomes the first fighter in MMA history to have professional bouts across four decades: the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and now the 2020s.
He fought in the 90s?
Yes.
What?
How crazy is that? You know, of course, he loves getting his submissions. He has earned 53 of his 57 career victories by stoppage. I mean, that is just incredible. I mean, that is just something to behold right there. And then Maurice Green, on the other hand, 8-3 overall, 3-1 in the UFC. He is one of two heavyweights in UFC history to earn a submission by triangle choke. The other two are by Stefan Struve.
Wow. His first fight was in 96.
Wow.
I cannot believe that.
Number 11 versus number 15. It's going to be a good one. But, dude, this guy has 47 submission victories. Like,
nuts.
I know he hasn't been doing very good as of late. I'm pretty sure he's the underdog.
Against old Pirate Mo, the crochet boss. I wonder where that nickname comes from.
Who knows? Yeah, Alexei Olenek's the underdog. Bro, give me the underdog. I'm going with Alexei Olenek.
I want to go with him, too.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the underdog, Alexei Olenek. You heard it here
Sorry,
first.
Sorry, Maurice Green.
Yeah.
You know.
Whatever.
You know how it goes.
moving on to the women's bantamweight division and the co-main event of the evening.
A rematch between Holly Holm and Raquel Pennington.
Yeah.
They originally fought, how many years ago was that?
That was in 2016, 2017?
I don't know. I got no service out here. I can't see it.
What are you trying to say, bro? I'm
saying you are right. It was 2015.
What do you say? It's lit.
It was a split decision loss for Raquel Pennington. Lots of people thought she actually won that fight. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of interesting to see them running back in this late in their careers, 5 years later. Holly Holm's 38. Raquel is 31. The bigger fighter, obviously going to be Holly, since she's fought up at featherweight and all that. She's got an inch of height. And Raquel, only half an inch of reach, though. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting since we haven't really seen, never mind. We saw Raquel recently.
Yeah. Holly's ranked number 3. Raquel's ranked number 6.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah. Holly's overall record is 12-5. She is 5-5 in the UFC. And then Raquel Pennington is 10-7 overall, 7-4 in the UFC. But listen to this. So, Holly typically fights out of the southpaw stance.
Mm-hmm.
Raquel Pennington, 0-2 versus opponents with that stance.
Oh.
She's never beaten a southpaw.
But you're not ready for that discussion, are you?
But y'all ain't ready for that talk. All striking advantages except absorb per minute go to Raquel Pennington, and they split the grappling advantages. Raquel typically lands more per 15 minutes, but Holly has better takedown accuracy and better takedown defense. Raquel more likely to go for the submission. Really interesting fight here. Hard one to call. If Raquel Pennington uses a lot of activity, she could win. But I'm going with Holly Holm.
Same.
ANA, MMA, agreeing on this one, we're both going with the preacher's daughter, Holly Holm.
On to the main event!
He's back! The king is back!
The king is back. Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. It's McGregor. And he's taking on a cowboy with the worst poster I've ever seen in any UFC fight in history.
Which brings us to the first new A and Amy for next year.
The worst
poster. And this is the first thing that's on the short list.
Did you see the one the fan made where Cowboy was riding on the horse and McGregor had like the spear and the shield?
Yeah.
So sick. Fuck. Take that idea. But instead they got McGregor, who's like pictured right here, and then Cowboy, who's like way back here, right next to each other. It just didn't make sense.
Did you watch the Dana White drop the like right before the fight happens, the video?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, not the whole thing. It's nice. I kind of wanted to save it.
Uh-oh.
No, you know, make it special.
It's good.
Get my blood boiling before they go in there.
Yeah, it's good.
So the press conference, real weird to see Conor be so respectful.
Yeah.
He was asking him like, hey, what's that jacket? And Cowboy's like, oh, it's a rattlesnake. And Conor was like, oh, PETA's got a warrant for my arrest. Ha ha. It was really weird to see how, like, respectful they are and joyous Conor was, and maybe he's turning a new lead with all his allegations against him. I don't know.
Or maybe he's not trying to get in trouble because he got those allegations, so he's just keeping shit low and cool.
True.
Just trying to get his little fight in, make his little money.
You little weasel. You little rat. Ali Abdelaziz, I know all about you.
Fucking terrorist.
Where's your son?
Damn.
All right. You little rat.
So looking at their records, Conor McGregor is 21-4 overall, 9-2 in the UFC. Cowboy Cerrone, 36-13 overall with one no contest, 23-10 in the UFC. So this is crazy. Conor, of his 21 wins, 18 knockouts. Can't tell me that shit's not special. Cowboy, on the other hand, of his 36 wins, 10 knockouts, 17 submissions. A lot of people are talking about, is Cowboy going to take Conor to the ground? I don't know if Conor, or if
I doubt it.
If Cowboy's blowing smoke, but he said, why wouldn't I want to stand with one of the best in the world?
He said that. So he starts feeling that left hand, then he might change his ways.
I don't know. We're going to have to see.
And then what did Conor say? Like, whoever shoots first is a cow bitch or something like that?
I don't know. I didn't hear that. But all of Conor's four losses are by submission. So, I mean, if it comes down to crunch time, Cowboy might say, fuck it. And go for the submission.
I could see it.
Conor has all significant strike advantages except absorb per minute, and those are very, very close. And then Cowboy, very, very advantageous on the ground, if you will. What? Somebody outside?
Heard some.
Slim's worried. Being worried with Slim.
Shit, I'm shooketh.
But anyways.
Yeah, I just don't know. Just locked his car.
I'm gonna go with the notorious one on this.
Jake,
who you pick?
Yes.
What do you think about this fight?
Give us Conor. A rundown.
No, like, what do you think about it?
I mean,
you've seen Cowboy fight plenty of times.
I think Cowboy. It's not that he's in bad shape. He's been beaten up a lot.
True.
I mean, he's been through some fucking hard battles. Conor really hasn't been through a lot of hard battles like that. You know what I mean? I think he's...
Just one, really, against Diaz.
I mean, yeah, I think he's...
Khabib just kind of held him down.
He's definitely... His boxing's always been improving, so I don't know. If they're standing up, I don't see it going that far for Cerrone, but like you said, I mean, he might, in that crunch time moment, be like, fuck it, you know what I mean, and try for a knee bar or some shit. Right. Yeah.
So
hot take, if Conor loses, he goes and trains with Israel City Kickboxing.
That would be the craziest
dude,
shit.
Dude, he needs to. Could you imagine? Conor with feints?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go with Conor.
Yeah, I'm going Conor too. Dude.
A and J MMA going to agree on this one. We're all three going with the notorious Conor McGregor.
McGregor!
I hope everything goes well. I hope he's able to fight again soon, go through with his plan.
I hope Cowboy rides out on a goddamn Harley.
Oh, he's going to. If they just have a shit waiting.
Just fuck it.
I'll make that a
prop. Let's make it a stage presence. Why not?
We got your back.
But yeah, so we only have one disagreement the entire card.
Yeah.
So that'll be a big big fight there. Big celebration for whoever wins. But yeah, let's take a quick little break here so I can pack a bowl. When we come back, we are going to discuss our top Five. Greatest fighters of all time.
Yes.
And me and Slim's personal humble opinion.
I think I was in love once. Really?
We'll be back.
Play me some shit. What was her name? I don't remember.
Listen up. Hey. Listen. Hey, you over there. Hey, listen up. We're back. Hey, it's episode 100. We made
100.
It 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And it took us 3 years.
Yeah. Well, how many weeks are in a year?
52.
Ooh, yikes.
Ooh. It's all right. We take breaks.
Yeah. Wait, unless we started on a leap year or some shit.
Oh, you're right.
I can't remember.
Right.
I can't remember when the
I don't know. Occurred. You got me. Wow. How many guests have we had? How many memories have we made?
A lot.
How many episodes have we lost? Just one.
One really good one.
And then that first dude. Do you remember when Jeff Hughes first came over? Sean's shit was all fucked up.
And he just sat there and watched you fuck.
And he was
it.
Like, nah, bro, it's fine. I got a podcast too. I get it. And I was like, oh, God, thank God. This is great. And I had to, like, jury rig some shit up to my computer and it didn't sound right because we had both had to share a mic.
When you sent Cassius to Pennsylvania. And then he still came to the interview.
And then he still drove a whole hour to Akron. That's
how did you fuck up the address?
I just sent 42 Watson. It's fine. But
dude's from like Youngstown, so he was proud. Yeah, was like, oh, okay, boom, send him to Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's fucked.
No zip code. So
and he called. Tell that story. Go ahead.
Yeah, he called me. He's like, hey, bro, what kind of house am I looking for? And I was like, oh, it's like this brick one. I'm standing out in the road. And he's like, well, I'm at the address, and I don't see anyone in the road. And I'm like, what? Send me your location right now. It's PA.
Oh, fuck.
Like, I was like, oh, no, my bad, bro. And I sent him the zip code, and he was like, oh, shit, no way. All right, no worries. I'll be there in, like, 50 minutes.
Yeah, it must and have I was been, like, right at Newcastle or some shit. Like, right and I was like, PA.
Oh, word? I mean, we can reschedule. And he was like, no, bro, I'm on my way. I was like, all right. Like, dude was committed.
You're a madman.
He was committed.
I'd have been...
That's the boy. We got to have him back on soon.
Definitely.
We need all our guests to come back on soon. 2020 is a new year.
When we got a place, we'll be doing
it. Yeah, we're going to get a new little booth set up.
Yeah.
Little booth stick.
But until then, we got a little present for you guys. Me and Slim, in all of our years, have not discussed who we truly think our best fighters of all time are. Our goats, if you will. So, we compiled our list, and here are... our top five goats of all time.
Time.
Starting with number five, we got Slim Bobulus. Take it away.
All right. My pick for the number five best fighter of all time.
Ooh, wee.
The Last Emperor.
Oh, wow.
Fedor Emelianenko.
Wow.
So Fedor, from 2001 to 2009, went on a 27-fight win streak. He had one no contest in that. 13 subs and 8 KOs. And his only loss at the time was from a stoppage. Yeah. The very first punch the guy threw on him cut his eye
yeah.
from a faulty glove. And the doctor waved it off like right away. Like And he eventually got that win back a couple years later. But that was his only loss. In 2009, he was 31-1. Mm-hmm. Absolutely insane. He won multiple Pride championships, open weight and the heavyweight Grand Prix, and was just a staple for, you know, so long. He was supposed to fight Randy Couture in Affliction at one point until that company went under.
Yeah.
And how crazy would that fight have been?
That fight would have been madness.
Oh, my God. The two best heavyweights in the world fighting at that time.
Dana even said the one fight he missed was...
That's the one.
Fedor versus Brock in Texas.
That too. And although Fedor never got to the UFC, he's still kicking ass in whatever organization he's in, which, you know, he just maybe might have retired in the Saitama Superdome.
Yeah.
When he beat Rampage, which, dude, I can't believe he knocked out Rampage like that.
That was so weird.
But that was a lumpy Rampage.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, no, he's never looked any different. He's never acted any different. He's still got that just cold demeanor with fresh misdemeanor. And yeah, man, that's why I think Fedor is one of the scariest dudes and one of the best fighters of all time.
Number five. Wow. All right. That was a good one, Slim. So... this is an interesting inclusion here because I don't necessarily believe this man is top five when it comes to, like, actually fighting. But when you headline four of the five most purchased pay-per-view cards, and I'm sure the next one could possibly eclipse all of them.
He's about to say McGregor.
The man, the first man to ever simultaneously hold a belt at two different weight classes, it is Conor the Notorious McGregor.
You're a fool for that.
Conor transcended the sport of MMA and is without a doubt the greatest, most gripping personality the sport has ever seen. He began his career on that 7-fight win streak, he headlined a fight in only his third fight with the company, and nobody was able to predict the ascension that the Irishman went on, but... he did it. He defeated the likes of Max Holloway. He beat Dustin Poirier. He beat Chad Mendes. He invaded Brazil and took on the champion Jose Aldo and got the fastest knockout in a championship fight in UFC history. Later, Juice. Crowd, say goodbye to Juice. I'll see you later, bro. From then on, every fight was a money fight for Conor McGregor. There was the two fights with Nate Diaz that helped seal his legacy and star power. Those wars were something to behold. And then he went and won the lightweight championship versus Eddie Alvarez in stunning fashion. Last time, of course, we saw him was that most bought pay-per-view of all time when he lost to Khabib. Nonetheless, though, he seems to have his head on straight. Hopefully, like I said, all of these allegations made against him are false and don't taint his legacy, because if he can follow through, 2020 could be another huge year for the sport. Brash, style, power. Those are the three words I think of when I sum up Conor McGregor. I'll take him at number five all day, Slim. But
all right,
he's tied for fifth.
Tied?
Yeah. I have another number five.
Oh. Oh, we're doing ties now.
Got him. He wasn't expecting that. I couldn't decide. I should have snubbed Conor, but I couldn't.
Should have.
Tied for fifth is Hoist Gracie.
Oh.
The one who started
the pioneer,
it all. The man who showed the world just how effective ground fighting could be and introduced everything to that Gracie Jiu-Jitsu style. From UFC 1 to UFC 4, he went undefeated in 11 bouts. UFC 1 was a magical event, still one of the funnest to go back and watch. Gracie was the smallest of the eight fighters who started that tournament, and he won the first fight, which was actually the longest of the three. It was 2 minutes and 18 seconds, and he won that fight by submission from position. He literally was just on top of Art Jimerson, and he couldn't move, so he just tapped out.
Yeah.
He simply is just – he was ahead of his time at that point. And, of course, after that became that sleeve – or he had that sleeve choke submission that beat Ken Shamrock, who insisted he hadn't tapped, but that just set up a future rivalry between those two. And then in the championship, he had that lapel choke versus Gerard Gordeau, and he became the first winner of – the first UFC tournament. In UFC 2, he easily beat all four men on the night to win his second straight tournament. He only fought once at UFC 3, where he won his eighth straight submission victory in a war versus Kimo Leopold, who was a much bigger and stronger man than him. But he would come back at UFC 4, and that was his final I'm sorry, in the final, he took on another legendary fighter in Dan Severn, and that was his 11th straight submission victory and his third tournament championship in four events.
Will you pull that heater over here?
Yeah.
The other one?
Oh.
Was we wasting it? Sorry, my computer's going slow, and I hope that's cold's not a cause of it. We can't really... All right. Yeah, that works.
Shut your...
All right, continue. Oh God, that feels so much better. Ah,
So you got his
13th submission victory.
11th submission victory, third tournament championship in four events. The following year, he and Ken Shamrock would fight for 36 minutes straight to a draw at the UFC 5 Super Fight, and then Hoist would go on to avenge his first career loss and become the first Gracie to defeat the legendary Kazushi Sakuraba. See top five best feuds for that. And then his final fight was almost 4 years ago in an odd trilogy fight with Ken Shamrock, in which he won. He may have not had that many fights in his career, but he is the original badass in the UFC, and he helped put the sport on the map. He's towards the top of the MMA royal family, and he's towards the top of my GOATs list, Hoist Gracie.
Wow. Very nice.
Number four for Slim.
You sound like you just wrote an essay. Number four for me. One of the best MMA fighters on the planet.
Currently?
No.
No.
He's retired.
Okay.
But during his time, the natural Randy Couture was the pioneer of the UFC.
Wow.
A six-time UFC champion, three-time heavyweight champion, two-time light heavyweight champion, and he got an interim belt. He was actually the first fighter to win belts in two different weight classes, although not simultaneously, like McGregor did, but the first one to win belts in multiple classes.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the record for the most heavyweight championship wins at six. Mm-hmm. Not all, you know, consecutive defenses, but regardless. The only person over 40 to win a championship fight to this day.
Wow.
Yeah. So... Cormier might be able to get that back.
Maybe.
Who knows? He won his first belt in 1997 and left the UFC for Vale Tudo, Japan, where he took 3 years off and came back to beat Kevin Randleman to regain his heavyweight belt. So he never actually lost it the first time. He then lost to two larger opponents in heavyweight, Josh Barnett and Rico Rodriguez, and decided it was time to move to light heavyweight, where he fought Chuck and won for the interim light heavyweight belt. He beat Tito to unify the belts, then lost the belt to Vitor by Dr. Stoppage, which was a bullshit cut. But he then got that right back in the rubber match. So he was 2-1 over Vitor in total over his career. He then lost the belt to Chuck, losing by his first time ever getting KO'd. He came back to beat Mike Van Arsdale, then lost to Chuck again. He retired for the first time in 2005, then came back 2 years later at 43 years old to beat Tim Sylvia and regained the heavyweight belt. That fight, I will never forget. The hype for Couture was nuts. And when he came out and landed that overhand right and rocked Tim Sylvia, the 6'8" monster, and Couture's only like 6'3", bro, that crowd, that arena, oh my God. And then he just controlled him for five straight rounds. It was crazy. He defended the belt once against Gabriel Gonzaga before losing to Brock. And then he finally retired in 2011 to a Lyoto Machida knockout. But man... Dude, like when you talk about pioneers, Randy Couture's name has to be mentioned. I mean, he's really just one of the ones that started it all. One of the biggest big pay-per-view sellers of the time,
yeah.
Along with Chuck and Tito. And yeah, man, Randy Couture, one of the best to ever do it.
All right, that was a good one, Slim. So my number four, he's been called the greatest of all time by the likes of Joe Rogan and Dana White, the most dominant champion the sport has ever seen. Anderson, the Spider, Silva.
Whoa!
So, I mean, the list of accomplishments on his resume just speaks volume. He owns 7 knockout of the night bonuses, which is the most ever for that award. His title reign, which was the longest in UFC history, was 2,457 days as champion. He is owner of the longest win streak in UFC history, which was 16. He has the most finishes in the middleweight division's history, the most knockdowns in UFC history at 18, and the most knockdowns in title fights at 10. And he also owns the record for the most knockouts in UFC title fights. He had some epic knockouts, such as when he entered the Matrix versus Forrest Griffin.
Yeah.
His crazy kick versus Vitor, that comeback submission victory versus Chael Sonnen. The Spider provided us with a lot of memorable moments and most definitely deserves to be in my top five and in any conversation about the greatest mixed martial artist of all time.
Wow. My number three is the Spider, Anderson Silva. As you said, the longest UFC title reign in history, spanning from 2006 to 2013, where he amassed 16 consecutive victories in that span.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. When he dispatched Rich Franklin twice.
Yeah.
The Chael Sonnen fight, the best comeback in UFC history.
Facts.
I've never seen a comeback be even anywhere close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Chael Sonnen was 2 minutes away from being the middleweight champion of the world. Oh, my God. Unfortunately, his showboating did get him, you know, a little in trouble to Chris Weidman, and then the rematch didn't go his way either. But Anderson Silva, as you said, still one of the best to ever do it, and his reign in that time, you know, he's one of the biggest stars in the sport.
Yeah,
had the Nike sponsor. He was all over the place
for sure. All right, so my number three is the undisputed greatest women's fighter to ever grace this planet. Cracking my top three is the lioness, Amanda Nunes. I mean, dude, her list of accomplishments are incredible. She's defeated every woman who has ever held a featherweight and bantamweight championship belt.
That's true.
The first woman to ever knock out Chris Cyborg, the underdog in that fight she was. The two fights versus Valentina Shevchenko, who's in a league of her own at 125. Or, I'm sorry, 125. I mean, knocking out Holly Holm with her own move. I mean, dude, Amanda Nunes is just really just something else. She's the first woman to simultaneously hold a belt in two divisions simultaneously. She has the most UFC wins in history across all women's divisions, most title fight wins in UFC women's history. Pretty much every record in the women's bantamweight division is owned by her. And she has the longest winning streak by any woman ever put together in the UFC's history. Simply put, she's in a league of her own when it comes to women in mixed martial arts. She continues to dominate her opponents and hasn't truly been tested since she beat Valentina Shevchenko almost 3 years ago.
Wow.
We'll see who's next for the Lioness, but whoever it is better be ready for the hardest fight of their career. Most definitely deserving to be in my top three is the queen of MMA, Amanda Nunes.
That's fair. I like that. All right, my number two. Max Holloway named his kid after this man.
Oh, okay. That was a good one. That was a good one. You got me.
It's George Rush St. Pierre. You were like, what? Although he's notable.
You got
me. He's up there.
Oh, yeah. He's up there. He's an honorable mention for sure.
He's top 10.
Yeah.
He's got to be top 10.
For sure.
But it's George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre had the belt the second longest in UFC history, 2,204 days, the same time span as Anderson Silva from 2006 to 2013.
Yeah.
Even though he did lose his belt twice, once to Matt Hughes and once to Matt Serra, he avenged both those losses in just astonishing fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, when this guy loses, he just comes back that much better.
Right.
He retired in 2013. After, you know, he just gave the belt away. He said, hey, I'm take some time off. Came back in 2017, 5 years later, and became a two-division champion.
Facts. My bitch love, Coco.
Dude, the only person to ever come close to beating him after, you know, he got the belt back for the second time was Johnny Hendricks.
Right.
Which was a very close fight.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people said that was a robbery.
A lot of people still say that was a robbery. But after USADA came in, George got out of there. But people still, you know, say that to this day that that's why he left. But, you know, who knows? He came back during the USADA state. Excuse me. The USADA era in middleweight and looked better than ever.
Won a belt.
Knocked Michael Bisping down, got his back, choked him out. Boom.
Right.
He immediately vacated that belt. But
yeah.
George is still in talks to this day. Says he can make 155.
Possibly a super fight with Khabib.
You never know. You really never know what's going to happen. Kamaru wants that fight. Tyron Woodley wants that fight. Who knows? He could even go up and fight Israel. Who freaking knows? Who fucking knows what GSP is up to? But Farasa Hobby was recently on Joe Rogan's podcast and said that he is still training every single day, like he's got a fight coming up. Oof. So on a moment's notice, he could be ready and just get plugged in there.
Yeah.
So who knows what is next for George St. Pierre, one of the most dominant fighters in welterweight history and in UFC history in general. And that's why he's my number two best fighter of all time.
That was a good one, Slim.
Thank you. Nine was his title bouts, by the way.
Good job.
Consecutive.
Well, my number two is the only man on this list to have defeated every man he's ever faced. One of the most well-rounded fighters of all time, George St. Pierre.
Oh!
I mean, you pretty much said it all, baby. One of the most impressive UFC records of all time, 20-2 in the UFC. He's ready and prepared for all facets of the fight. Doesn't matter where it goes. He has crisp technical boxing, world-class wrestling, and a good submission game to go along with his unbelievable cardio. He won both the middleweight and welterweight championship belts in his career. Like you said, defended that welterweight belt 9 times. He's also owner of the most decision victories in UFC history.
Wow.
And the most takedowns in UFC history.
Oh, history?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he's currently at 13 for his win streak. Like you said, his last fight was back in 2017. It seems as if he could be done for good unless a crazy amount's offered, but this was a tough decision. But I like GSP at my number two.
Nice.
Well,
are you ready?
I think we all know who's coming for the boy.
Are you ready?
It's here.
I don't think you do.
Oh, wow. Really?
He is. The man of the hour. Too sweet to be sour. The women's pet and the men's regret. And if you bet against him, then you made a bad bet. The gangster, the bad guy, whatever you want to call him. It's Chael P. Sonnen. The only fighter on this list who's never lost a fight.
Wait, is this a...
His opponents just didn't want to keep fighting him. He just didn't want to keep fighting him.
What kind of weird prank is this?
Chael Sonnen, bro?
You're not fooling me. You're not fooling me. How much did he pay you to do this, babe?
I wrote him a song, too.
Oh, my God.
He's a bad guy. No. Chael P.
Wow, you did not split that sponsorship money.
Notable snub. It's John Jones. Johnny Bones Jones, the family of freaks. He's got two brothers in the NFL.
Yeah.
The youngest champion in UFC history.
Yeah.
He's technically never lost a fight.
No.
Even though technically...
I mean, technically he has, but...
I mean, technically, but not technically.
He's never lost a fight.
Yeah, physically, he's never lost a fight. He absolutely destroyed Matt Hamill's cranium with elbows that were deemed illegal. And when the referee came in and said, "Hey, are you good to fight?" He didn't realize he was talking to a deaf fighter, so Matt Hamill did not respond, and the fight was waved off. Unfortunate. I still hope they reverse that decision to this day.
I really hope I really hope they run that one back.
Matt Hamill said he would. He's like 42.
That'd be so bad.
It's horrible. As I said, most dominant champion. I think really ever, because no one has even come close to even testing him. Like, no one is even, like, I mean, Thiago Santos was the closest, and John still handedly won the fight.
Alexander Gustafsson?
Yeah. Still won the fight.
Yeah.
As far as, like, and then we saw what happened in the rematch. Right. I mean, when you rematch against Jones, he gets you that much better. He did it with Cormier, and he did it with Gustafsson.
Mm-hmm.
I think anytime you rematch Jones, he learns from his mistakes that he did in the last fight, and he capitalizes on what the mistakes you might make in this one.
Right.
He's number one in the pound-for-pound rankings. I mean, what can you say about that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? If the fight with Israel really does happen in the next year or so, whoo!
That'll be the biggest selling fight of all time.
Oh, my God. I really still hope he goes up.
I might buy 10 of them just because.
10 different devices. Like. Yeah. I really still hope he goes up to heavyweight because we always wanted to see him versus Cain Velasquez. That was always talked about back in the day when they were both on top.
Yeah.
Right now, him and Stipe, that would be a bit of a banger.
That'd be good.
I don't see him taking Stipe down, and I think it's going to be on the feet. And Stipe's boxing, I think, you know, he can make something happen with that. But if Cormier does come back and beat Stipe whenever they do their trilogy, I think the fight with him and Cormier at heavyweight is the fight to make. That will be one of the highest selling pay-per-views of all time. Absolutely. I believe. I truly believe that. But like I said, John Jones, I don't have really days where he's had the belt because he gave it up and blah, blah, blah so many times. But he reigned from around March 2011 till now. So I don't really have a day range because, like I said, he had so many infractions and things outside of the cage. But I really think he's kind of put that to bed in the last couple years. Well, year at least. The picogram thing was kind of a lot. But, yeah, I really think he's starting a new lead. He's taking out contenders left and right. And that's the John Jones we always wanted to see. You know, just an active John Jones that was proving that he is the best ever.
Absolutely. And that's because he is.
Yes.
He's my number one as well. I mean, you said it all. Youngest fighter to win a UFC championship. Most wins in the light heavyweight division history.
23 years old, dude. We're 25.
We're old.
Can you imagine? Us at 2 years ago winning a championship?
No.
No.
He's tied with Glover Teixeira and OSP for most stoppage wins in the light heavyweight's history. He's tied with Glover Teixeira, OSP, and Misha Cirkunov for the most submission victories in UFC light heavyweight history.
Yeah.
Most successful light heavyweight title defenses with 10, most consecutive light heavyweight title bouts in UFC history. He's had 14 title bouts in a row. Most consecutive light heavyweight title defenses in UFC history, 8. And he has the longest win streak in UFC light heavyweight division history with 13. Slim said it all. You got to know who the GOAT is, boys. It's John Jones.
Can you imagine being his dad?
Oh, yeah.
And just realizing you just birthed three freaks that came out of your genes. It's what like, did he do?
So it's like...
like, what did he
you
do?
Know, you know, babies are like lottery tickets, and he won 3 times.
In a row.
In a row.
Like, consecutively.
Just played 3 Powerballs and won them. Crazy. Wow. He's got Powerballs. Go ahead and name this episode Powerballs.
He truly does. Episode 100. Holy shit. Can't believe he made it this far.
I love you, Slim. But, guys, this is our last show ever. How sad would that
be? Oh, my God. How fucked up would
that be?
Like, wow, damn, they were doing pretty good. They just hit their stride.
No, we are
selling all this shit.
No. We're looking to get on point this year with you guys. Enjoy this content. We'll be right back at it next week.
Yeah, once Monty gets his little crib, I'm going to be looking to get my little crib.
We're going to be a lot sooner more than consistent. Later. We're going to be able to do video. We're hopefully going to have a website at that point so we can do a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that the outlook is bright for the boys.
Oh, yeah.
We hope everything's going well with the listeners as well. As always, shout out to my handsome young kitten, Spyro. I love you so much. Yeah, shout out my cat Spyro.
Shout out you,
Felice Herrig's butt cheeks. That's a good throwback.
Hell yeah. No, shout out you, the listener, the people that have kept up with us through 100 episodes, and maybe you just started listening. Well, you don't got to go back. Those are shitty episodes. But
Enjoy what we're bringing.
Yeah. We're a lot better now. But
enjoy what's to come.
But if you really have kept up with us for a while, we really appreciate you. You make us continue to want to do what we do. And as always, hit us up. You know, talk to
us.
You
know what? I want to start a DraftKings league.
Oh.
So I actually already have one started. If you would like to join the... let me find this shit.
Did you invite me to this? Because I got a fucking invite.
Yeah. If you would like to join the Alliance of Quizzical Trucks. That was a randomized name, by the way.
What?
Go ahead and send me a friend request on DraftKings. My name is all undercase A as in Alpha, J as in Geronimo. I'm just kidding.
G. As in Jeremy.
As in Jack. And then F as in Frank 320. AJF 320. Go ahead and send me a request. I'll get you joined up in the league, and then you can play your two favorite MMA analysts all year.
Yeah.
We'll be doing DraftKings all year, hopefully, even if it's for small amounts, $5. Big ones, maybe we'll do $20. But, yeah, send me a friend request. I'll get you in the league, and you can play against us kind of whenever you want, you know. I'll send the invite to everybody, and if you got the money that week, go ahead and play against us.
Yeah, it'll let me fun. Take your money.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Until next week.
Yeah.
Signing off.
Episode 100.
It's your boys, Spyro's dad and Slim. We'll catch you later.
Bye.